Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Please open your Bibles to 1 Peter. We are now in chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. This is God's word. "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. That now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Wow, in this chapter, Peter really covers the waterfront. I mean, he's dealing with a whole lot of different things. Our focus is going to be in the first part of the chapter, but I wanted you to see the context, because just as in the previous chapter, when Peter talks about how we should respond when we suffer unjustly, and he talks about the fact that Jesus suffered injustice in order to save us, that Jesus paid for sins that he never committed. We were the ones who committed them. He says, you've been called to follow Christ, and that will involve suffering. But you should make sure your suffering is for doing the right thing, not for doing the wrong thing. Again, as we've said before, when we suffer for doing what's wrong, we really don't like that. But when we suffer for doing what's right, why, we're just furious. How could this happen to me? I did what God says you're supposed to do, and now I'm suffering for it. Well, he told us to expect that. Well, then why would I want to do the right thing? Because we're not living for the opinion of others. We're not living for the immediate experience. We're living with our eyes on Jesus and on eternity. And that's what Peter brings us back to as he develops this. Now, the first part of the chapter, the first folks that he addresses in the previous chapter, remember, told everybody we're supposed to be submissive to those who are in authority in government. Then he tells slaves that they need to be submissive to their masters, because most of the people who were going to be in the church and in the community were slaves. That was just the context of life in the Roman Empire at this time. Well, here he says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. What if my husband's a jerk? Well, this has been known to happen. But when that happens, you're supposed to be submissive. Does that mean you're a doormat? Does it mean you don't have value? Not at all. It means you trust yourself to God and do what is right in God's eyes. Be submissive to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. The goal here is the salvation of that jerk. The goal here is that that person who is your husband is going to come to know Christ. Well, I thought the Bible said that Christians are not supposed to marry non-Christians. It does. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Well, then how did this happen? Well, sometimes people get saved after they're married. And very often throughout history, the wife got saved before the husband. And when that happens, what is the wife to do? Well, I'd say get out of the marriage. No. Paul writes to the Corinthians about that very question, and he says, if the unbelieving spouse is willing to stay married to you, don't try and distance yourself from them, whether it is a man who becomes a Christian and has an unbelieving wife, or whether it is a woman who becomes a Christian and has an unbelieving husband. Try to make that marriage work. Serve the Lord in that marriage. But if you are in such a situation, ladies, what are you supposed to do? Be submissive to your husband. Be submissive to your own husband. This isn't saying that all women everywhere have to be submissive to all men everywhere. It's saying if you are in the covenant of marriage, you need to be submissive to your husband, wives. And the goal is so that they might become believers. So that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Well, what should I look like? I recommend, ladies, no makeup, and the best clothing would be a potato sack. Okay? You think? Of course not. You're supposed to be beautiful. Really? Well, what if I'm not beautiful? You can be by fixing up my hair and wearing a ton of makeup like Jezebel in the Old Testament. And, you know, I mean, what am I supposed to do here? Well, your beauty should come not from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self. You're supposed to be beautiful on the inside. One of the vivid memories from my preschool days in Illinois was a lady in our church, Pansy Bingham. She worked with the preschoolers. And I couldn't remember her name. And I asked my mom, who's the lady who looks like rice? She said, what? And I said, who's that lady who looks like rice? And my mom said, Pansy Bingham? And I said, yes, that's it. Now, why did I say she looked like rice? Because she was old and pale, and the skin on her face was so wrinkled that it looked like a bowl of rice. Okay? Pastor Wood, I hope Pansy isn't listening. She's not. Okay? She's been in heaven a long time. Well, what were you wanting to say about Pansy Bingham? I was wanting to say how nice she was. I loved Pansy Bingham. She was beautiful. Not physically. You wouldn't see her on a magazine and say, oh, wow. But if you knew Pansy Bingham, she radiated love. She radiated the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace. It was beautiful to interact with her. And as a little kid, I appreciated that. She was a beautiful person. You should be beautiful, ladies. It should be the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Now, some people have taken this verse out of context, and they have suggested that if you are wanting to be a godly woman, you will not wear braids in your hair. Because it says here, your beauty should not come from outward adornment such as braided hair. Oh, and no gold jewelry. Because it says wearing of gold jewelry. And no fine clothes. Okay? So if you have anything that didn't come from a thrift store, or if it was from a thrift store, but it was really nice, you know, some rich person gave it to the thrift store, don't get that. You need to just wear kind of plain stuff. There really are people who think that's what this means. That's not what this means. It says that's not where your beauty's supposed to come from. That's not what is supposed to make you appealing. It's not how you dress. It's not how you do your hair. That's not the beauty that lasts. The unfading beauty of a quiet spirit, a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth, next phrase, in God's sight. See, the question is not what do people think when you go out of the house. The question is, what does God think? How does God view you? If you're doing the right thing, if you're exhibiting the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you're beautiful in God's sight. And if your husband is too obtuse to appreciate it, that's on him. You're still doing the right thing because you're seeking to please God and cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in your life. This is the way that the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Now again, why this thing about fear? Because sometimes when you do what is right, you will not be appreciated for it. You may even be persecuted for it. If you're bent on doing what God says, there will be a lot of people who will resent you. Don't give in to fear. Husbands. Oh, he addresses the husbands. Yes. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. The ESV translates this, live with your wives in an understanding way. If you want to be a good husband, you have to learn about your wife. You've got to understand her. In the famous musical, My Fair Lady, Henry Higgins sings the song, why can't a woman be more like a man? And describes the fact that women are like this and men are like this. That's by design. It's not a defect. God designed men and women to complement each other. And if you're frustrated, gentlemen, because your wife acts like a woman, you've got rocks in your head, okay? She's supposed to act like a woman. You think, well, it was easier when I lived with the guys. Well, sorry. But the fact of the matter is, that would be a miserable way to spend your whole life. I am so thankful for the blessing of being married now for 48 years to a beautiful woman who is definitely different from me. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But in order to have a good marriage, I can't just expect her to think like I think, to feel like I feel, to respond like I respond, to do what I would do. I need to live with her in an understanding way. I need to be considerate. I need to consider, how's this going to affect her? How's this going to impact her? What can I do for her? Be considerate as you live with your wives. It doesn't say, and you're supposed to submit to them too. No, you're supposed to lead well and to care for them, to husband them. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Well, how do those things go together? If she's the weaker partner, why would I respect her? Because she is God's beautiful design. You're saying that there are basic differences between men and women? Yes. Yes. Our society has totally abandoned reality. We've got tons of folks now who think that men ought to be able to decide that they are women and then compete in women's sports. That's nuts. It's beyond nuts. It's evil. Why do we have women's sports if there's no difference between men and women? They're the weaker partner. Treat them with respect. See this watch? It's not a Rolex, but it is an Apple, and it's a really good watch. What if I need to drive a nail? I can't do it with my bare hand, but if I took my watch off and put it across there, maybe I could use that to pound a nail. What do you think? Smart idea or dumb idea? Dumb idea. That's not what the watch was designed for, and I'm going to totally mess it up. It wasn't made for that. I'll destroy it. Now, I've got a hammer, and I can use that hammer to pound a nail, and I can use it hour after hour after hour to pound nails, and it will not break from having nails driven into boards. Okay? But it doesn't tell time, and it doesn't record my pulse. And it doesn't notify me when I've got a message. You understand? Women are in some ways weaker than men by design. That doesn't make them less valuable. You're to treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. You're to view them as not only your partner, but as joint heirs in Christ Jesus. That's glorious. It's not like, and you are an heir. Husband, you are an heir of God in Christ Jesus. Be sure and share some with your wife. No, she is too. Just as much as you are. Heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. And gentlemen, if you don't do this well, guess who's not going to listen to you? God. So that nothing will hinder your prayers. That's what it says. God sees the way that a husband treats his wife. And if you don't treat your wife well, God's going to be upset with you. You can't be mean to her and then turn around and say, hey, God, listen, I've got this thing coming up and I really need your help. God says, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Because it's a grievous sin to be in a position of authority and leadership and abuse that authority and leadership. So, be considerate. Live with your wife in an understanding way. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. So you don't want anything to interfere with your prayers? Well, then do what God says. Do what God says. His ears are attentive to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. It says, live in harmony with one another. I've used this illustration before from time to time. I want to remind you of it because we have a number of new people who probably haven't heard this before. But I heard an amazing thing one time in a chapel service in Mississippi when I was a newlywed. A fellow from Illinois, Merrill Dunlop, had come down to do the special music for a conference there at French Camp. And Merrill was a fabulous instrumentalist and a wonderful Christian. And he sat at the keyboard, piano, and he said, I'm going to play a familiar song for you. And as I recall, it was What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And he played it, and it was very nice, and it was very familiar. And then he said, now I'm going to play it in a different key. And he played it again, and it was very lovely. And after he finished the second time, he said, now I'm going to do something that is actually quite difficult to do. I'm going to play in the first key with my left hand and in the second key with my right hand. And he proceeded to play What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and it was awful cacophony. It was painful to listen to. And, I mean, we all sat there just kind of stunned, like, why would he want to do that? And when he finished that third rendition, in two different keys at the same time, he said, how was that? And everybody was just like, you serious? And he said, that sounded awful, didn't it? Yes. Well, you see, my left hand could say, I didn't miss a note. And my right hand could say, I didn't miss a note. And both would be correct. But the problem is, they were not working together. They were not harmonized. Now guess what? If you and I are going to do what God says, it's not enough to focus on our perspective and say, I'm right. Because the other person is focused on their perspective and saying, I'm right. And it's possible in some situations that this person has a really valid point and so does this one. But somehow we've got to come together. There's got to be harmony. And Merrill went on to demonstrate what that looks like. Let me tell you something. In order for us to function the way God designed, we don't all have to be playing the same note continually. But we've got to harmonize. We've got to live in harmony with one another. That's not a suggestion. It's a command. It's what God calls us to. It's only possible through His grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web
at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.